Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
It's another hour of the program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 1-800-636-8686 is the phone number. I got a chance to take more calls coming up in 20 minutes. You can always email the show, RomanAvatake.com. Hit me up on Twitter. It's B.W. Weber. Hour number one, solely comprised of NFL conversation. We'll make the move back to the pros coming up in 20 minutes. Talk about what's on the line for Aaron Rodgers personally this season. But because I love college football as much as I love the NFL, and the college season is just 2 weeks away, let's focus on what's happening on campus with P. Futak from collegefootballnews.com. Be sure to check out the College Football News podcast. It's outstanding. Pete, how are you?
I'm doing just 2 weeks away. I feel like I have a test that I haven't prepared for yet. I'm way overdue for my annual nightmare where I wake up in my dream where I haven't taken the advanced chemistry final yet, and I haven't gone to class all semester. It's like right here. It's coming. I don't feel like I'm quite prepared yet.
Now, I can live up to that and start with Conference USA. You want me to go down that road?
Let's go. I sprayed all fields. Let's
roll. I will never have a chance to fill it again. We play the hits here on CBS Sports Radio. So let's start with the big boys, and we'll focus on Clemson, reigning national champs, considering what they did to Alabama in the national title game, how talented Trevor Lawrence is, all the guys getting ready to go to the NFL. And if you look at the schedule, Pete, Clemson, with only two teams on that schedule currently ranked, would you be shocked if they don't make it back to the playoff?
Yeah, of course, because like you said, they're really good and the schedule isn't that bad, but it only takes two losses. And the negative part about this is that the ACC is so average that you can't really make a whole bunch of mistakes. They could absolutely lose to Texas A&M. They could absolutely lose on the wrong day to, I don't know, like a Virginia or a Miami in an ACC championship game. Yeah, last year they thundered through everybody, but except for Syracuse early on. But before that, you had a loss to Pitt 1 year. You had a close call against NC State. You had the loss to Syracuse 2 years ago. So they have been fallible before. And this year, more than any, to me, the overall storyline is going to be in college football because of all the transfers. Who keeps their starting quarterback upright and healthy? If Trevor Lawrence goes out for a couple games or so, all bets are off. Because while the ACC isn't that amazing compared to like the SEC or like the Big Ten East, there isn't really a true dog. I think Louisville's going to be a little bit better. North Carolina's at least experienced. And everyone else, the Wake Forest and Dukes of the world are going to be good enough to get in the bowl hunt. So there isn't really a true free space game for them, I think, this year, at least in ACC play.
Focusing on the return of college football with Pete Futak, collegefootballnews.com. Pete, we are old enough to remember that Clemson won the national title with Danny Ford, but that's eons ago. How has Dabo Swinney been able to sustain things in this run and hang on to most of his assistant coaches?
Well, what's amazing about them is they are able to do this by developing players. And it's crazy that you can lose a defensive front four that's at an all-timer of a level and not really worry too much. They've done this before. I mean, they lost to Vic Beasley. They lost to Shaq Lawson. They lost some big players in the past and just had wholesale changes, and they came back and were just fine. Obviously, you're not going to be better after losing a front four and even five if you want to throw an Albert Huggins like you had last year. But they just keep the talent rolling, and they do it without having the monster of monster recruiting classes. Alabama just every year has the number one, two, or three recruiting classes, and they just go three deep at every position with NFL guys or five-star talents that they can choose from. Clemson kind of does that, at least at the higher level now, getting the Trevor Lawrences and some of the top receivers that they've been able to get. But for the most part, they're doing it by getting a lot of very good players, and they're doing an amazing job of just developing everybody.
Pete, the way Alabama got pushed around by Clemson in that national championship game led to a lot of sizzling hot takes about the end of the dynasty. But here we are with the preseason rankings out. Tied number two nationally. They got Tua coming back. Let's focus specifically on the SEC. How much separation do you see between Alabama and Georgia this year?
not much, but from the SEC and everybody else, about 100,000 miles. It is by far the best conference in college football. And I know I'm a wacky hot taker by saying this. I feel like it's crazy. But Alabama's the best team in college football. If you look at what's coming back, this might be Nick Saban's best team yet. It is so loaded. But like you kind of alluded to, like four different narratives going on at once that we're going to find out this year, where you can point to, say, Miami losing to Ohio State in that Fiesta Bowl, or USC losing to Vince Young, or Florida State losing to Oklahoma in that national championship as marking points where it says, okay, this is where, like you said, the dynasty sort of took a twist. Nobody's going to say Alabama is going to start to go 6-6 or anything like this. But was that the beginning of something weird and different? I don't necessarily think so. I think it was a combination of one really bad, inexplicably strange performance by Alabama and one really amazing performance by Clemson at the same time. But what's going to happen this year is going to kind of define the narrative of what happened at the end of last year, because that seemed like it was a massive aberration. And you remember, it's not like Alabama was tired. They had, that was the most rested team ever, because they didn't play the second half of any game until they had to deal with Georgia. But for whatever reason, they showed up to Santa Clara looking completely gassed, and they went up against an ultra-focused team that was every bit as good, if not a lot better than them. And Clemson, you know, give them all the credit in the world. They just rocked them. So let's see how it is this year, because, you know, one thing about Nick Saban is he doesn't have that same kind of bad game or bad season twice.
Brian Weber in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio. Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com, is our guest. Pete, Oklahoma now is the modern version of quarterback U with Baker Mayfield. Kyler Murray looked good in his Arizona preseason debut last night. How do you see Lincoln Riley handling the quarterback situation with Jalen Hurts transferring in this year?
Because you're the one who brought up the Perry Tuttle, Homer Jordan-esque Danny Ford 1981 Clemson days. Imagine being back then and thinking about that someday Oklahoma would be the model of a passing
offense. Pete, what's a wishbone? I remember something. Not Johnny Wishbone from Beverly Hills Cop. I remember when Oklahoma ran the football a million years ago.
Jamel Holloway is still probably my favorite college football player of all time. And you're right. It's just, okay, lather, rinse, repeat. Now, it's crazy to think that, all right, you just lost the last two Heisman Trophy winners, the last two number one picks in the draft, and you're probably just as good with Jalen Hurts. I mean, Jalen Hurts isn't the same sort of passer. But if you're going to be the starting quarterback for Nick Saban as a freshman, and you come within, let's call it what it was, a pick play by Clemson away from maybe being a two-time national champion quarterback, you got to have a different sort of makeup, and you got to be a different sort of guy. And certainly we know Jalen Hurts can handle all the pressure in the world. And, no, he's not the bomber those other two guys were, but he was deadly accurate for Alabama. He was a 65% passer. He just wasn't Tua Tagovailoa when it came to throwing the ball. I think I kind of equate Oklahoma to being like a really good college basketball team that just keeps getting into the NCAA tournament, keeps getting there, and then eventually something breaks the right way, and it's your year. This year the defense is going to tackle somebody. It's going to be a little bit better. The offense might take a little bit of a step back in certain ways, but it's certainly going to be efficient and effective. Eventually, Oklahoma is going to win one of these college football playoff games and at least play for the college football playoff national championship. And this might be the year. This Hurts might be the guy and kind of lead them to that next level.
And the headline, of course, on collegefootballnews.com will be Hurts so good. You're based in Big Ten country, Michigan opening up the offense this year. Jim Harbaugh hoping to take the next step at his alma mater. Probably comes down to finally beating Ohio State. What's your view of Michigan?
I take full and total credit for picking Michigan State for about 4 years to win the Big Ten until they finally did it and won the Rose Bowl. I've picked Michigan to turn that corner under Jim Harbaugh for 3 years now, and I'm going to keep doing it until I make them get over the hump. It's got to be this year. I know everyone dogs them. They got their doors blown off by Ohio State. I'm going to blow off the Florida game because that's just a bowl game that they just didn't seem like they cared about. But you got to do it this year. You've got the defense that's going to be – they lose a couple key parts, but they're still going to be great. The offense looks like it's going to be significantly better, a little more explosive. They got the experience. They got the receivers. They've got the veteran quarterback. They've got those pieces in place, and they get Ohio State in a transition year at home. This kind of has to be the year that it has to happen, and it gets lost in the narrative now. But, you know, yeah, they got to the end of the rainbow last year with that game against Ohio State with a shot to go probably get in the college football playoff, because they would have beaten Northwestern. And they're good. They're good again. I'm going to still pick Michigan to finally get it done until it actually happens.
Chatting with Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com. You know, if we're going to have a conversation, I'm going to take you to the West Coast as a Pac-12 hunk and a contributor to Pac-12 networks. Clay Helton under a lot of pressure at USC. He's made wholesale changes just to keep the job. What's the win total he needs to achieve to keep the gig? And how much are we talking about Urban Meyer making the move from Fox to USC next year?
Yeah, and that's the narrative. That's it. Because if you're looking at, okay, what job could Urban come back to that's kind of at his level? There's Notre Dame, there's USC, and that's maybe about it. That's the gig for him. It's a perfect fit for him to step in. Clay Helton, I think you're USC. You have to be at least in the title, a Pac-12 title hunt, and if not more. And what do we know about Clay Helton? Everyone likes him, because if they didn't, he'd have been launched. He's a great guy. Everyone around the program likes him a whole bunch, and they think that there's hope for the near future. But the problem with USC is, yeah, it's going to be a whole lot better this year. But last year was the year to get it done. Now you've got Chip Kelly in his second year at UCLA. You've got Herm Edwards and Kevin Sumlin both in their second seasons down at Arizona State and Arizona respectively. I think Colorado is going to be a lot more dangerous as Mel Tucker is head coach. They've got some offensive weapons there. Utah looks loaded. So now you're looking at a Pac-12 South that isn't exactly, you know, where's the layup? Where's the one game on there that you can say, yeah, USC is absolutely going to beat this team in the Pac-12 South? Maybe Colorado. They do get Utah at home, but there aren't any real gimmies. And then you look at the beginning of their schedule, that's a tough front five games that they're going to have to get, five or six games that they're going to have to get through. So this is not going to be an easy slate for the Trojans.
Hey, they could lose to Fresno State week one. Just mark
Absolutely.
That on your calendar.
Absolutely.
I track the website all the time, collegefootballnews.com. It's outstanding. And you have gotten into the attendance issue that college football is dealing with. Record low when you do the average last year. Pat Fitzgerald, as you know, of Northwestern, says it's all about these phones. These kids won't get off their phones. That's why they're not showing up. What do you think is the foundation of the attendance issue that college football is dealing with?
A little bit has to do with the games. Like, if you're going to, yes, if you're Michigan playing Ohio State, you're going to sell the place out. If you're not playing the better of the best, actually, it's probably the wrong example because Michigan's now bringing the house now. But if you're one of these teams like a Northwestern and you're not playing a big team that's going to bring in the fans from the other side, you're just not going to get a whole lot of butts in the seats. So, yeah, it's partially, you know, who are you playing that week? Is it a big game? And part of the issue, too, is there's just the whole experience about going to games. I kind of think this in general. I don't know why, for example, anyone would ever go to an NFL game. It's so much, the experience is so much better on TV, and you can watch a whole lot of games and do other stuff with your day. If you're going to a college football game, that is your entire day, which I think is a beautiful way to spend a day. But for 80,000 people, maybe that's just a little bit harder to do now. The student sections, okay, you got your phones, but they just sit on their phones when they're in the stadium. I just kind of think it's an economics issue. There's a lot of games now. And again, I think it just comes down to the matchups and who you play.
Especially in November in the ACC and the SEC when you got Clemson playing Wofford. Who's going to that game?
Yeah, and you just want to go to the game, you want to, you know, get into the stadium. Enjoy. I kind of like that, though. If I'm a Clemson fan, to me, I always kind of like the perverse pleasure of that early September game against, you know, some little sisters of the
No, that's fine in September, but Pete, in November, it's criminal in the football sense that the ACC and the SEC still have those body bag games before the rivalry matchups.
I give the SEC a full-on break when it comes to this, because look at Alabama last year. Alabama, I think I'm going to get this lineage right. They had to have the rivalry game at Tennessee. I know, whatever they think, but it's still a rivalry game. LSU, and then they got Mississippi State's defense. Then they got the Citadel game. Okay, there's your break. But then you get Auburn, Georgia, and then college football. Like, it's not like they're taking a week off.
Oh, stop. Really, Pete, change the name of the website to I Believe the SEC is the Only Conference That Matters.com.
It actually kind of is, unfortunately. I wish it were. I would, you know, no joke. I really, really wish the Pac-12 would rise up and be amazing. I really wish, like, the ACC would have, like, would be where it was like 3 years ago, where you had like seven or eight teams that were really right in the hunt for things. For good or for bad, look at what you had last year. Seven of the top 15 teams in the final polls were from the SEC. That's half the conference. Give me like the seventh best team in any of these other leagues and forget about it. You had 25% of the NFL draft made up of SEC players. I'm not saying it's a positive. It's just kind of the way of the world that the SEC's just got the best conference going.
I understand.
Right now.
And as we say goodbye, when's the last time Florida left the Sunshine State to play a non-conference game?
It's fair enough. Fair enough.
Okay, so they have inherent advantages in addition to all the talent. Pete?
If you got the gold, you can make the rules, and the SEC say, hey, come to us.
Another deep thought that you'll get on collegefootballnews.com. Check out the podcast. I have yet to listen. Did you lose my phone number? You and I have been doing this for 15 years. I would have been a good co-host on that podcast.
Well, come on in. We'll talk Pac-12. We'll talk Stanford. We'll get into it. Knock it out. You're on for next week.
All right, well, you have to talk to Garrett Ritt, see if I'm available. Thank you, Pete.
Oh, now you're big time me. I got you. I hear it. I know where your bread's buttered.
Thank
it's all
you,
right,
Pete. P-Web. That's our friend, Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com. And let me forward promote with guest Brian Weber next week. I will be on the phone trying to defend the Pac-12. All right, I'm up against the clock. We're going to talk more college football in the final hour because Pete laid it out well to a degree. I think there's also a fundamental issue with the understanding I love college football. It was the way I was able to weasel my way into the business when I was 21 and I looked 13. I sounded 9. I was able to do a coach's show because I hung around the program and they took some pity upon me. I've been lucky to travel with teams, do play-by-play. I think the biggest issue with college football now is the predictability because we're talking about the same teams in the playoff every year. And we have direct continuity this year again. With Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, maybe Notre Dame again. If it's not Bama, it's going to be Georgia because of the advantages in terms of finances, facilities, and that's leading directly to a recruiting edge. We'll get there coming up final hour of the program. I mentioned Garrett Ritt is the executive producer today because Adam Hawk does not want to work with me anymore, apparently. So we have Ike in the big chair, my main man James, who's helping me with anything involving the clock, Kelly, and that's on me. We'll clean it up as we move along. So as we progress, I'll read more of your tweets. I got one right here. It's BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Brian, I see you have the dueling flight decks front and center today to avoid eye damage. Don't look directly at them. Your buddy, Eric in Orlando, wore the USS Eisenhower. Look, he presided over D-Day, put together the interstate's highway system, made sure the contiguous United States would grow, and added Alaska and Hawaii, and now he's screening your phone calls. So, if you want to be a part of this program, also was the president of Columbia University. I know a little history. You got to get past Garrett. 1-800-636-8686. Emails, romanavatake.com. Twitter is your best bet. It's B.W. Weber. Coming up, back to the NFL after missing the playoffs the last 2 years and now contending with a new head coach. Does Aaron Rodgers have anything to prove this season? You're in the jungle on a Friday. I'm Brian Weber in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber with you, in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up, much more NFL conversation as we dissect from a big picture standpoint what happened last night in those preseason games. Plus, we'll look ahead to what really matters, what's going to happen when we get to the regular season. Give you the outlook for Aaron Rodgers as the Packers have missed the postseason in back-to-back years. 1-800-636-8686 is the number to call. More of your phone calls coming up in 15 minutes. We're talking Raider football. Are they going to do anything in their last year in Oakland with their preseason debut tomorrow? Twitter is BW Weber. And Scott in the Bay points out that I have a bit of a pattern of reminding you how to spell my last name. Scott wonders, is that Weber with two B's like Babar?
Two B's?
One B. B-A-B-A-R.
That's two.
Yeah, but not right next to each other. I thought that's what you meant.
Dr. Singalingaling. I thought that would be an Adelaide drop. No? Hello? I'm now producing as well as trying to host the program. Let us say hello to Matt in L.A. Hey, Matt, you're in the jungle with Brian Weber. What's going on?
She's a funny old bird, isn't she, Brian? Hey, but from Sunken City to from Sunken City, San Pedro to Sunken Diamond in Stanford, you're welcome. B-Web, it's always an honor and a pleasure to talk with a sports professional like yourself. Wanted to call in and comment on the NFL Hall of Fame. You know, it was a great time. We saw some real personalities and some real legends enshrined. But I'm still pining for one of your alumnus and fellow brothers from the Stanford Cardinal. I want to see Jim Plunkett go in. And I also want to see his former head coach, Tom Flores, go in. These are among two NFL players, a player and a coach, have two rings to their names, nothing but class. They have done it, you know, he was a Heisman Trophy winner, was Plunkett. So NFL, come on, let's do the right thing. Let's get these guys in at least by next year. Also, B-Web, heard you talking a little bit of baseball. I think that we're looking, staring right down the barrel at a 1981 rematch, Yankees and Dodgers. I'm not impressed by what Houston did. We own Greinke. Verlander is no match for us this year. So I'm calling it Dodgers in six to win it all. B-Web, keep up the great work, my man. Thank you for coming in and spelling Jim Rome, the Hall of Famer, in the jungle on this Friday. Deca, yeah, baby.
Thank you, Matt. And if you're talking Yankees, Dodgers, post-Brooklyn, it was also Yanks at L.A. in 77, 78, and then 81, the strike-shortened year, won by the Dodgers. Talking Hall of Fame, I'm with you on Tom Flores. Undeniably, he should be enshrined to Canton, Ohio. Cliff Branch should be a Hall of Famer. I'm going to part company with Jim Plunkett. I understand you got the two Super Bowls, and that's the Eli Manning argument based on who the Giants beat on both occasions. But look at Plunkett's body of work. Even though he won the two rings, he's not a Hall of Famer. Aaron Rodgers is going to the Hall of Fame. First ballot. Didn't do anything last night in a preseason game. And I know every sports platform out there wants to get involved with sports wagering. It's a growth area. If you're betting on preseason games, don't call me at 1-800-636-8686. I got another number that you should call. 1-800-GAMBLER. If you're wagering on preseason games, you have a problem. Talk to somebody. I know you're looking for value, but wait until games that matter hit the schedule in September. So as we think about where Aaron Rodgers is at this stage of his career and what he's been doing lately, and I have to be completely transparent. If you've heard me before here or elsewhere, I'm the biggest Aaron Rodgers fanboy you're going to find. I think he is the most talented quarterback in the NFL, the best quarterback in the NFL, understanding that Tom Brady's got the six rings, so he's the most accomplished quarterback of all time. But feels like Aaron Rodgers is running out of excuses. And I'm not blaming him for getting banged up the last couple years with the collarbone fracture and then the lingering knee issue last year. That's going to happen in a collision sport. But even an Aaron Rodgers apologist like myself has to point out that we don't have Ted Thompson to kick around anymore. And the Packers are actually finally active in free agency the last couple years. They built up the defense. Mike Pettine, while he was a disaster as a head coach in Cleveland, knows how to coach him up on D. They've invested more dollars on that side of the football. If Aaron Jones can do anything running the ball and stay healthy, you got a semblance of a ground game. Now it comes down to Aaron Rodgers coexisting with the coach that he's got to respect, even though Rodgers is 35, Matt LaFleur is just 39, and I don't want to overreact to a soundbite. That's what we do now because there's too much content to produce. But it was discussed this week by Bill Ryder when he was in this chair. Aaron Rodgers did not help out a rookie head coach by being as candid as he was about not enjoying the joint practices with Houston, saying it was basically foolish to have live special team drills. Also insinuating that the Players Association might get involved because somehow they were breaking the rules doing that in a practice setting. Rodgers knows exactly what he is doing. Remember, the Packers are publicly held. There's no rich dude he's got to report to. The CEO is Mark Murphy, but Rodgers knows he is bigger than the team and he can do whatever he wants to. But for all of the finger pointing, and I think it was justified at Mike McCarthy in the past, especially last year, for running that Stone Age offense, well, Mike McCarthy's gone. And now it's up to Rodgers to prove that he is coachable. We understand he's going to check out of plays. He's earned that right. But if you believe that the team made the right decision, and according to reports, Rodgers didn't have input, so maybe he doesn't believe with that premise. But if you think Matt LaFleur knows what he's doing, coming from the Sean McVay coaching tree, which is much better right now than the Bill Belichick fungus-filled coaching tree. We talked about Matt Patricia and Bill O'Brien earlier, Romeo Crennel, Charlie Weiss, and the rest. LaFleur had a chance to call plays last year in Tennessee. So at least he has a degree of experience. Aaron Rodgers in a division that Chicago is picked to defend that division championship, at a minimum, has to bring this team back to the postseason after missing the playoffs in back-to-back years, or guys like me are going to have nothing to use to defend him beyond we love the aesthetics and the beautiful football that he throws and his athletic ability and all the comebacks and all the Hail Marys. So it is cliched to say pressure is a component, a first ballot Hall of Famer, a Super Bowl champion, and a league MVP has to contend with. But yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers has something to prove this year. And it starts at a minimum with getting the Packers back to the playoffs. 1-800-636-8686. If you're hanging on the line, more phone calls coming up. Emails RomanHaveATake.com. Hit me up on Twitter. It's BW Weber. By now you know how to spell it. Coming up, more NFL. Will this season be another bust for the Raiders before they head to Sin City? That is straight ahead. Now let's get you a sports update. Rich Ackerman has all the headlines.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Powering our way towards the final hour of the program. Still plenty of time for you to get involved at 1-800-636-8686. More of your phone calls coming up. We're talking Raider football. And then as we ease into the last hour of the program, back to what happened last night with the 11 preseason games. We're not getting into the details of game action. Talking from an overall standpoint about trends that might have validity when we get to September. Just one more guest along the way, an hour from now, going to take you across the NFL with Josh Alper from ProFootballTalk.com. Get you a few more tweets. A current jungle icon, Canadian hitman. Oh, God, I'll take a three-hour WNBA preseason game over a Matt in L.A. call. Now, CBS Sports Network, your proud home of the WNBA, and we love clone-on-clone crime. Mailman Casey, I like to gamble on the over-under of how many times you say that's Weber with two Bs, or you swapping Manly bowling stories with Ike during the breaks. Now, I know Ike lives for the turkey split, 7-10 all day long. You think I'm actually good at any sports? I know you don't think I'm any good at talking into a microphone. The reason I became a broadcaster comes down to the fact I had no athletic ability whatsoever and wanted to be around sports. And yes, I am proud that prior to the transformation to this very network, if you're enjoying the TV simulcast on the CBS Sports Network, in the old days of CSTV, I was fortunate to do play-by-play of rugby, water polo, and the Intercollegiate Bowling Championship, not once, but twice. And you're wondering why I'm here. Mostly to take phone calls. Back to an open line at 1-800-636-8686. Here's Josh in the D. Josh in Detroit, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Brian Weber with two Bs. It is good to see you again. You know, first of all, I want to say war of the Big Ten. Second of all, I heard your lion take. You know, Brian, I got to go visit the training camp with the Lions when they were doing the training camp. And I tell you what, I got so much it that after it, Matt Patricia came over on that four-wheeler and said, "What's up, Josh, in Detroit? Oh, my God." And I said, "What's up, coach?" And it wasn't just a handshake or a photo. I got so much it that he wanted to know what my opinion of this season and this training. And I said, "You know what, coach? It's going to be a Josh in good Detroit good season." And another thing, he said, "Heck yeah." And I said, "Heck yeah." And he said, "That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call." Same rules apply even when the Hall of Famer's in the basement. Josh, that was a terrible call. No self-gloss, you know that. And no flat-out inventing stories. Although, with Matt Patricia, that might have happened, because clearly he's not busy coaching the team. I'm not going to kick the poor Lions while they're down. They've been down for half a century. The curse of Bobby Lane. Last championship, 1957. Haven't won the division since 1993. Last playoff win, 1991. In a league built on parity, 15 of the last 16 years, somebody's gone from worst to first to win the division. Chicago did it last year to keep that trend alive. It's virtually impossible to be as irrelevant as the Lions have been. You forced Barry Sanders to quit football. You forced Calvin Johnson to walk away from the game. Cleveland is part of the national conversation. Where are the Lions? And I'm going to blame Josh and the D. I think it's really your fault, even though you're not going to go back to the glory days of Eric Hipple playing on a Monday night inside the Silverdome. Let's talk about another team stuck in the past. The greatness of the Raiders, making their preseason debut tomorrow, kicking off their final season in Oakland. And while I've been reading my resume, talking about the Intercollegiate Bowling Championships on CSTV, I was damn lucky to start my broadcasting career in the San Francisco Bay Area. So I have a lot of personal stories of interacting with Raider fans when I covered the team. Used to go to training camp in Napa every day. And I was part of Chucky version one, when the team was actually good and should have gone to the Super Bowl that one year, but for Tony Siragusa falling on Rich Gannon in the AFC Championship game. But if you think about where the Raiders are, if I'm talking about circa the year 2000, doesn't that tell you everything you need to know about a team that is unable to move past the past? And I know this year is about the future and getting to Vegas. And we can have a lot of fun with the understanding that personal appearance is not show fodder, even for the fill-in pimp in the box. We can have a few laughs at Mark Davis and his unique haircut, but he's laughing all the way to the bank in Nevada because he got state officials to pay for that stadium. He got really lucky. The Supreme Court came up with that ruling about sports wagering because the NFL is going to gradually loosen things up. And in a few years, there's going to be a sports book in that stadium, and Mark Davis is going to participate in the profits there. So we can all sit here and chuckle. But the one thing you cannot undermine when it comes to Mr. Davis version 2.0 is his ability to blindly fall into a pile of cash. Except he's giving, according to reports, $100 million of that, if you believe that John Gruden really has a 10-year, $100 million contract. Tonight's story, let's see where we are year four, year six. But because Mark Davis, and when I covered the Raiders, he was not allowed to travel with the team. I didn't because I was in the media, but being around the team 18 years ago, Mark Davis wasn't on the charter back in the day. Because he desperately wants to be like his old man, all he can do is go into the hot tub time machine and cling to the past. So that's why Gruden came back, because this is about building hope for Nevada. And that stadium's going to be filled next year because it's Las Vegas and because of the power of the NFL and because of the novelty. But knowing that teams ebb and flow in the NFL, Mark Davis decided to bet on his coach. So if we're talking about who's the face of the franchise, it should be Derek Carr. And we'll hit on the tenuous relationship between coach and quarterback in a moment. Could be Antonio Brown, but all we're talking about is his wacky foot condition. and forgetting apparently to put on the proper footwear when he was getting the cryotherapy in France. I mean, that's just a bizarre baseball injury, like Glenn Allen Hill years ago walking through that glass door when he thought he was being chased by spiders in his dream. It's not even about Vontaze Burfict or Richie Incognito and the rogues gallery that Mike Mayock's put together. This team is all about one guy and one guy only. It's the head coach. And Chucky already, in the midst of what was a boring first episode of Hard Knocks, generated the only moment that came anything close to going viral when he weighed in on being the dream weaver of the NFL.
Everybody right now has dreams, don't they, guys? All right, everybody in the NFL, I have a dream of making it in the NFL. I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. You guys with me on that? You got to end somebody's dream. You got to take their job. You got to take their heart. Are you guys clear about this NFL now? We're not trying to go to the Peach Bowl. We're not trying to go to the Gator Bowl or the Blue Bonnet Bowl. We're trying to go to the Super Bowl.
Courtesy of HBO. Couple thoughts. Gruden hits his T's harder than I do when I say Twitter or Tennessee Titans. Secondly, nothing like a very contemporary Blue Bonnet Bowl reference. Used to be played in the Astrodome a million years ago, but that is fitting because that's where this team is. Talking about the greatness of the Raiders and a commitment to excellence. Well, if you're going to dip into the past in coaching comebacks, we've seen this before. And how does it work out? The answer is badly. Joe Gibbs came back. What happened to our nation's capital? I think the same thing that's going to occur with the Raiders moving forward to Nevada. John Gruden was away for far too long, and the league has passed him by. If you actually watch games on Sunday, and I know a lot of people go on the air filled with bluster and hot takes, but if you take the time to watch games, that Raiders offense looked really stale. And it wasn't just, I think, because Derek Carr clearly has lost his confidence, because follow his career trajectory. A couple years ago, before he got hurt and Connor Cook had to get beat up in that playoff game against Houston, Derek Carr was in the MVP conversation. Watching him last year, he was making inexplicable mistakes, mostly, I think, because of mental errors. And he had his head coach calling him out at least on two occasions post-game, saying, well, got to ask my quarterback about what was going on in the red zone. So this is not about Derek Carr being in fear of losing his job. It's not going to be Nathan Peterman under center, although you got Gruden talking him up mostly to defend his ridiculous view during the draft that, I tell you what, this Nathan Peterman, there's something special about him. And yeah, Peterman beat Clemson when he was a quarterback at Pitt. I've been watching football for more than 10 minutes. I think the single worst quarterbacking performance I've ever seen was Nathan Peterman playing for the Bills against the Chargers. The fact that he is even in the NFL is an indictment of John Gruden and the player personnel evaluation process, if you believe there's one, in Oakland, because it's Gruden calling the shots. So this is coming down to one guy and one guy only, and we can think about the future of Derek Carr because he got all that guaranteed money up front. Moving forward, effectively, it's a year-by-year deal. The team can move on from him or flip him like Alex Smith for a bunch of picks. When we get to Nevada and things aren't working out, because I think this is going to be another lost season for the Raiders, especially given the division with the Chiefs equally loaded as a year ago and the Chargers, with or without Melvin Gordon stacked on both sides of the football. When we get to Nevada and the novelty wears off, and perhaps Derek Carr is playing for another team, who's going to be the guy who should be blamed? It's Chucky. But he'll be snarling on the sidelines tomorrow night in that preseason game. You'll see it next week on Hard Knocks. The best thing John Gruden ever did was convince Mark Davis that he's a football genius and only takes one sucker for anybody to keep their job. I'm trying to hang on to this gig for one more hour. 1-800-636-8686. Hope you're having a great Friday. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio.